Axis of Football is back. Another week, another set of headlines to talk about. Baker Mayfield on the move. Where'd he go? We'll talk about that and the implications. Some very interesting and eye-opening developments in the Deshaun Watson case. Von Miller, almost a Cowboy. What happened there? We'll talk about that. And lastly, we will cover our AFC West, NFC West previews. We're going West this week, Char. We're going to talk some more divisional previews this week. We'll round out the West. So let's kick it off, man. Let's start with our guy, Baker Mayfield. Char, a guy that you've been complimentary of in terms of just what he did for the team last year, playing on an injured shoulder. You've expressed empathy for his situation and kind of what he's had to go through. He's got a new home now. Baker Mayfield to the Carolina Panthers under Matt Rhule. Of course, they traded for Sam Darnold last year. So interesting story there in terms of what happens. But just, Char, out of the gate, give me your rapid reaction on Baker Mayfield for a fifth-round pick. And not only that, the Panthers got the Browns to pay $10 million of Baker's $15 million salary this year. So pretty good trade if I'm the Panthers. Low risk, and they knew they kind of had the Browns by the you-know-what in terms of, you know, they weren't going to get much for Baker anyway because they got Deshaun. What do you think of all this, man?
It's a second example of a trade that I think benefited all parties involved. It benefited the Browns because that was just like they got rid of a cancerous sore. And again, I'm not calling Baker Mayfield a cancerous sore. I you know how I feel about him with the Browns. He's the best quarterback in the history of that new organization. And I'm talking from 1999 on to here. So the cancerous sore being the situation that they created. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? So not
yes.
Obviously, right. So they got rid of cancerous sore. They got to save some money, all right? It's great for Baker Mayfield. Fresh start on a decent squad with an owner that's known to spend money. It's good for the Panthers. They gave up nothing to get Baker Mayfield, all right? And it, believe it or not, it's actually also good for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and that's interesting. By the way, it's even funnier, you know, in that what was it, the 2019 draft, it was Baker and Darnold that went 1 and 3 respectively in that same draft. Right. Now they both end up being on the same team.
Right.
So it's almost kind of like how the mighty have fallen.
Right. But here's the thing, though. Sam Darnold was always the better talent coming out, the better prospect. Baker was just the better player. So let's get that straight. So,
but my point is neither of them have really lived up to the expectation so far.
Yes. But the expectations of Baker Mayfield wasn't that he's going to come in and be Aaron Rodgers. The expectations of Baker Mayfield was that he's going to come in and bring stability to our team. And he's a good, solid football player.
I think when you take a guy number one.
No,
expecting a franchise-altering type player.
Kurush, aren't the Browns the team that had like something like 13 quarterback starters in like 3 years or something crazy like that?
They've gone through a laundry list.
Okay, so my point being is for the longest time the Browns were an absolute joke.
You're saying for the Browns the bar was lower because of how poorly they had.
Yes, for an expansion franchise that was just an absolute purgatory for NFL players. Absolutely not. They, because of Baker Mayfield, they started putting, you know, they got that stability. And look, he took him to the playoffs. He almost beat the Chiefs. Freaking beat the Chiefs. I mean, let's not forget.
Let's put it in context. I mean, these guys went. This is a team that went 1-31. With Hugh Jackson. I mean, sure. I know it's not easy to coach an NFL team. I mean, would it crazy to say that I feel like I could do better than 1-31 if you gave me
on the surface, you're right. But if you knew what it takes, Kurush, the preparations to take to win one game.
Winning an NFL star.
I know, and look, I don't take offense to it. I'm just letting, like, it's not a basket. Football season and basketball season and baseball are completely different things. In baseball and basketball, they throw games just because of rest. In football, the preparation that it takes, the energy that it takes for 1 week is like going through final exams of in college every week. That's how much stress it is.
Well, to your point, yeah, I mean, Baker, took them out of that. And, yes. And obviously, I don't think it's not just Baker, right? I don't know. You can say Baker carried him on his back. Obviously, they put some nice pieces around him. Bringing in Kevin Stefanski was a really big part of his development and his elevated play. Okay. But at the end of the day, he took him to the playoffs, to your point, almost beat the Chiefs. And the guy, I mean, say what you will about his skill on the field, which, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of him as a player, but this guy played through injury. He loves his team. And
he's a footballer.
Player. Yeah. And so you got to respect that. And I completely empathize with probably the disrespect he felt from this whole
season. Yes, Kurush.
Yeah, really, really, really glad that he got a fresh start. But the question, and let's move forward, Char. Yes, it's a fresh start, but is it the ideal start? Because now I think you're probably going to see an open competition between Baker and Darnold. I don't think it's a situation where, and who knows, God forbid anybody gets hurt. Maybe at that point there's a market for a Sam Darnold, okay? But really, it's probably going to be an open competition.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, sure, it's hard for me to imagine the Panthers going through the entire season with both of them on the roster. That seems unlikely to me. Probably at some point, you're going to want to offload him. The question is where. They just gave away a 2 for Sam Darnold last year. It's almost like.
Which is nothing. They took a shot at a franchise quarterback with a second rounder.
So, but it obviously didn't work out.
Right, it didn't work out. But here's the thing, Kurush. I would make that move again.
I would make it again. No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Giving up a 2 for a potential franchise quarterback is it makes sense. But now where we are today, okay? What do you think happens here? Right, like first, Char, give me your. Assuming there's an open competition, who do you think wins that competition? Okay. And then what do you think happens ultimately? Do you think one of them ends up coming in to relieve the other at some point? Do they end up keeping both? Do they end up trading one before the deadline? What do you see playing out here with the situation?
Okay. And you know, to all those guys that are saying Sam Darnold is my boy, again, let's take
I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those guys. Come on, he's an LA guy. He's a local kid. You know,
he's a San Clemente guy. I know his parents. I mean, so obviously, you know, he's a couple years older than my kids. So and my kids almost went and played for that high school. My kids were being highly recruited to go play in San Clemente High School. You know, and I just didn't do it. So yeah, in that case, yeah, he's a local kid that I rooted for. But no, my point was he's the number one ranked quarterback in terms of talent coming out that year out of USC. All right, and there's look, these guys that do these rankings, I can't do quarterback rankings. I have no idea. All I can tell you is like I'm a very layman when it comes to quarterback play, or you know. Just so I don't know much, but you have to think that those guys know what the hell they're doing. And if they rank them that high in their projections, just like Mitch Trubisky was ranked higher, you know, because of a set of talents that he has that you have to pay attention to. So to go and get a talented guy like that for a second round pick is I think it's great. Now, to answer your question, before I answer it, I want to get your thought about what I said, how I think it's also a good move for Sam Darnold. What do you think about that? Well, I said that I think the trade is good for all sides.
Well, you're right, but I don't believe Sam Darnold views it that way. But perhaps when all said and done, he will view it that way. Because at the end of the day, I don't care what you say, competition does breed the best in us, right? And I think Sam Darnold is probably thinking, well, they invested a second round pick in the high pick in me, right? I was hurt for a portion of last year. I started off well. Maybe I deserve the opportunity to come in as a starter again. So he's probably not crazy about it from that standpoint, but ultimately it could be a blessing in disguise if it brings out the best in him. Look, what if there's a reality? Because it's not as though the Panthers give up a ton for Baker. You're talking about a fifth round pick and they're only responsible for $5 million of his salary this year. So
fantastic.
If Darnold says, you know what, I'm going to show you. And he balls out in training camp preseason, right? Maybe he just wants the job outright.
Kurush.
Like, you know what?
I'm sorry. Sorry to cut you off. But what was Tom Brady's number one driving force early on in his career? What did he have posted on his locker all those early years of his career in New England? Do you remember? the names of quarterbacks drafted before him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Brady six. Yeah.
Right. So if Sam Darnold has an ounce of competitive nature in him, all right, you're a guy that during the preseason of that year, how many years ago was it? 4 years ago? I forget. 4 years ago? Five years ago?
4 years ago.
Yeah. All right. And all of a sudden, he unseats you for the number one pick, and he beats you. And now you have the opportunity.
Well, sorry, three years ago. Yeah, three years ago. Yeah,
whatever right. It was. Now you have the opportunity to come in and prove that people made a mistake. That would get my juices going.
These two guys, and I don't care what you say, they were competing up to the draft too.
Of course, right? That's what I'm saying. And Sam and Darnold
Baker,
lost.
And Baker got the best of them there.
Yes.
Now he's coming to town. Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. So I agree. This will test Sam Darnold, and I think we'll see how much of a backbone does he have in terms of handling this. I also imagine it's probably not a fun conversation as if I'm Matt Rhule's spot to have to go have with Sam Darnold. But if it's, you're probably doing the coach speak of, we made a move to make the team better. You know, we think it's for the best.
You know what Matt Rhule's saying to him? He goes to him before it was even publicly announced. He's going to go to say to him and he's going to say, you know what, Sam? We're going to make a trade for Baker Mayfield. We're giving up nothing for him. You're going to start off camp as with our number one group, and yep. I want you to keep it. And I want you. This is what I would say to Sam Darnold.
Show me it was a mistake.
And I want you to keep this. So this is what Coach Sharp would have said. I want you to keep this. I want you to keep this position. I want you to be my starter. I believe in you. And I want you to prove all those naysayers that talk you wrong to prove to them that you earned a starting job. Because you know what, Sam? If we didn't bring Baker Mayfield in here, people would say, oh, of course Sam Darnold's going to start. He was given another starting job again. Now when season starts, they're like, oh, he beat out Baker Mayfield. So maybe he did something. So that's a little bit of nuance that I would use if I was coaching Sam Darnold.
I agree. And I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. You know, you can't say, like, for example, the situation we talked about last week in Washington, where the Commanders gave up a couple, you know, multiple third round picks. They paid Carson Wentz a bunch of money. So, you know, of course he's going to get right of refusal over Heineke, right? That's not that situation, right?
Yes.
He didn't give up much for Mayfield. So I would actually venture to say maybe Carolina is even hoping it plays out the way that you just described based on what they know and like about Sam Darnold. So
right. It
was a very low risk move.
And it's a great move because here's the thing. You have two guys on your team. One has an extremely high ceiling. Believe me, Kurosh, Sam Darnold has an extremely high ceiling. His talent level is such that if he put it together, if he had the mental capacity, and again, I'm not talking bad about Sam Darnold because, again, you know how I feel. I'm talking about in being able to put it together and having that intangible. Sam yeah. Darnold is the franchise level talent. Baker Mayfield is not.
I think what you're trying to say is if you took Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield both playing at their absolute best top of their
Sam
game.
Sam Darnold.
It will be day. Sam Darnold. And I agree with all you 100%. Day. I agree with you 100% on that.
And again, these are two guys that I defended at some point in the year last year and the year before. So, but two very different guys. Baker Mayfield has a lower ceiling and a higher floor than Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold can go out there and just be freaking football diarrhea. All right.
Yeah, but then he'll make some throws sometimes. We're like, yes, that's elite. Right, but
He could also lead the league in rushing touchdowns after three games.
Which you did last year. Right.
Right. You know, again, this is why I think it could be the best situation for Sam Darnold, because if Sam Darnold comes out a starter by training camp, people are like, oh, shit, he beat out Baker Mayfield. Because this is the absolute epitome of open competition. There is zero shits given to the amount of investment paid for these two quarterbacks. To your 100% point, you're 100% correct. It's the Commanders, that's a Carson Wentz team until he loses it.
Yeah, exactly.
In this team,
We have no idea. And I could foresee a scenario because, look, I mean, what you want is to be in a situation where one guy you fall in love with and the other one is still valuable for as a trading piece, right? So, you know, maybe they do end up trading one of them prior to the deadline. But I think either way, even then,
I don't think there's
any way, Shar, that, you know, going into the 2023 season, both these guys are in the same roster. Like, it's something's got to give, right?
Unless if you have a situation where one of them definitely outplays the other one, and the other one does well enough to be a backup, and you want to keep him, and he chooses not to go anywhere. But you, to your point, yes, you are correct.
But they're both so early in their careers. I feel like they'll get a shot somewhere to start. Like somebody.
You don't think Baker Mayfield would be great in a team like Pittsburgh? That really just wants stability and just build solid foundations. You know, like
Baker Mayfield. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Although they just drafted this kid, the Pickett kid. So I don't see that happening.
I'm just saying a team like that. You don't think Pete Carroll would have been in a great state with Baker Mayfield?
Well, they were talking about Seattle as a trade partner, but it seems like they never really were in the running.
Yeah, but I'm just saying in a vacuum, you don't think Pete Carroll would like to have a quarterback like that he's going to have be under the center and he's going to come out and feed the ball and go play action? That's Baker Mayfield's game. That's if you remember when they got rid of OBJ 2 seasons ago, and I said this team is going to get better because it's going to put Baker Mayfield to a point. Right. Where he's gonna utilize his strength of hitting the open short receiver, not having to go deep to OBJ all the time. So look, the best case scenario that could happen for the Panthers, and in fact for both Sam Darnold and for Baker Mayfield, is that they both come out playing well, and one of them is clearly the starter over the other one, and one of them ends up being the franchise guy for the Panthers, and the other one gets traded somewhere else. That is like the greatest. That's like the best scenario where both of them develop out, and you keep one of them.
Yeah, and I don't.
Worst case scenario, Kurosh. Worst case scenario, they get a quarterback next year in the draft.
Yeah,
in a quarterback rich draft.
Exactly, but I think the Panthers made a great low risk move. I think for the Browns, like the Browns are like, well, I'm responsible for most of his salary. I only got a 5 for a guy that I picked number 1 overall. Not ideal, but it's.
But Kurosh,
we're past it and we can move forward now.
And here's the thing: if they're going to have a lot of cap room this year, if Deshaun Watson goes is suspended, let's not forget that.
That's true. Well, I think they have a lot of cap room regardless, right? But yeah, you're right, even more so.
No, but if Deshaun Watson suspended for the entire year, how much is his contract worth? 200, like 50 million a year, something
Actually, he would be off their books. They sign him to like a $45 million signing bonus or something like that.
Right.
And only like a $1 million base salary. So basically that $1 million will be their cap number for next year if he's suspended.
Right, which is and here's the thing, even if he's not suspended the whole year, again, he's only going to count that $1 million on a prorated portion of his signing bonus. So if this year the Browns have the salary room to take on $10 million, 100%. Oh,
they do. I mean, yeah, they're not getting spread thin because of it. I think at that point, they just had to get rid of him, right?
This, again, the last time I said, seldomly ever do I see a trade where all four parties involved, meaning the two teams and the two players involved, it's going to be best for them. Last year, who was it with? It was the Rams and the Lions. I said, it's great for Stafford. I said, it's great for the Rams. I said, it's great for Detroit because they're going to have a stable, decent quarterback. And it's great for Jared Goff because he can, like, he's going to have 2 years to prove something because we knew that the Lions weren't going to draft a quarterback this year. So yeah. This is another situation. This is another situation where it's fantastic for – now, it might not seem like that for Sam Darnold, but I'm telling you, because if Sam Darnold beats him out, nobody's going to say, oh, Panthers are stuck with Sam Darnold. They're going to say, oh, Sam Darnold won.
That's why I said he might not view it that way today, but he might view it that way this time next year, maybe, right?
Or maybe. All he has to do is go and win a job.
Yeah.
Which you know what the rest of us normal football players had to do every single fucking day.
Beat the guy who got drafted ahead of you and show them why you're the dude, right? And it'll be a moot point.
Yeah.
So I think it was a great trade for the Panthers. Shar, one thing this situation made me think about, Jimmy Garoppolo, because up to this point, it was Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo were the guys who we said, okay, there's not really, the musical chairs ran out, right? There's no chair for these guys to sit on. So Baker goes to where he goes. What happens with Jimmy? It's still really unclear. It's almost like the Niners would either have to cut him outright, keep him on the team this year, but kind of an odd dynamic with trying to develop Lance, or not hope, but wait for somebody to get injured and then he becomes a viable option potentially. But yeah, Jimmy's now the only kind of guy that's this without a home.
Jimmy's situation and Baker's are two completely different things.
I'm just saying that
right.
He's the guy left that doesn't have a place to go.
Like Jimmy Garoppolo will be perfect. Okay, God forbid. Let's say if Tampa Bay after week 13, 12. You know what I'm saying. Wouldn't it? Okay, let's say if Tampa after 12 weeks is 9-3, and something happens to the great one.
No,
if you were the Bucks, wouldn't you make a push?
Yeah.
For Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay. We're not going to talk about it anymore.
But but here's the question, Char. Even in that scenario, you are presupposing the Niners hang on to him. I actually would get your perspective on this. How much does it matter if I'm the Niners? I'm trying to elevate and bring up and push to the forefront my guy, Trey Lance. How much does it affect him and his development to have Jimmy on the roster? Not that big of a deal, or is it important that we part ways to really begin the Trey Lance era the right way?
If Trey Lance was the starter last year and they brought Jimmy G in now, that might mess with his head. But Trey Lance came onto this team and it was Jimmy's team, and he had to take it away from Jimmy G. Are we sure that Trey Lance is going to be the starter at the beginning of the year? Are we 100% certain? Because look, you're talking about a coach who benched his third round draft choice for a sixth round and running back.
Trey Sermon versus Elijah. But
right.
That's a little bit different at quarterback.
It is, but is it really going to hurt Trey Lance that much to say, hey, listen, you got to wait one more year?
Okay,
so, rookie salary.
So I agree. So in that scenario, trading Jimmy G midseason probably isn't on the table anymore. Because now you're risking him getting injured. And I think you either got to decide, we're going forward with Lance, and that's it. And if we can't get a trade for Jimmy, we cut him outright, or we keep him on the team, but he's still a good locker room guy.
You will keep Jimmy G as a captain and a backup quarterback. That's how you do it.
But what I'm asking, though, is what you're saying is, you believe that is a sustainable option
for this year.
That will not negatively impact Trey Lance.
No, you beat him out. Kurush, I remember my rookie year with the Redskins. And again, you're talking left tackle versus quarterback. I remember sitting on the bench and being yelled at. And I remember the starter from the year before was my backup. And he was standing there. And it was a tough game. And coaches yelling at me. And then I remember the first round draft choice was in the street clothes. That was a left tackle from Penn State. So, and I was like, holy shit. I'm like, wow. But you're professional. So look, Trey Lance can easily sustain, because here's the thing. You want to keep Jimmy G on there. In case of injury, you have a guy that knows the system, the locker room loves. Now here's the thing. If they keep Jimmy G next year on the roster, that's when you start saying, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Look, we had Heath Shuler in that same season, 1996.
I remember Heath Shuler.
Okay. Love Heath Shuler. Senator Shuler. I mean, he was a congressman. So I love Heath. And he was our first round. He was our third pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Like literally first round, third selection, right? In 94. And Gus Frerotte was a sixth rounder. It was very similar to RG3 and Kirk Cousins. Whereas the sixth round draft choice ended up beating out the first rounder. And Heath was in the locker room the entire year. And in fact, Heath would hang out with us, with Gus, like it was there. But guess what happened the following year? They let Heath go, and the team was completely, Gus's team. And in fact, the year that Heath Shuler was on the roster, Gus made All Pro.
Interesting. Okay.
And after Heath was let go, Gus never made All Pro again.
That also just depends on the mentality of the quarterback as well. Like, yeah, maybe that will help Lance in some way to fend off, because look, we all know, who's the most popular guy when the quarterback's struggling?
The backup quarterback.
Right? so which is why, actually going back to the Baker Darnold thing, I'm not so sure, regardless of who wins the job, they hang on to it for the whole season necessarily, right? They might not. You know, so
the, what do you mean to hang on to him in terms of starters or hang on to him in terms of Putnam?
Maybe Darnold beats him out in training camp if he struggles again. Like, I think,
absolutely. Oh, the leash is going to be so short. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Like, if the Panthers had somebody somewhat capable to turn to last year, I would argue they probably would have turned it over sooner, right? So, and obviously, Darnold got hurt, but
you also have a third round draft choice that in case both of them take a shit early, you hope that guy can do something.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot to unpack there, but at least for the foreseeable future, Baker's got his home, and we'll see how that plays out over training camp. And Jimmy remains a Niner until further notice, and we'll see what they do or don't do with him. On the topic of quarterback, Char, I think we've been talking about Deshaun Watson ad nauseum. We've said a lot of things. We've theorized a lot of things. There have been some important details that have surfaced about his case last week that I think it's important that we discussed. I don't have to spend a ton of time on this, but I think it's important to bring it to light. So, of course, he's been meeting with Sue Robinson of the NFL, who's overseeing this case. And late last week, it broke that from the investigation the NFL has conducted thus far, there's been no evidence of violence, threat, force, or coercion by Deshaun Watson based on the women that they've interviewed and all the testimonies that they've received. I think it's important, right? It doesn't mean Deshaun Watson doesn't have a problem. It doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong. But you and I were talking about a spectrum of possibilities and scenarios. You know, what I just described there, those things being the worst of it. It's a good thing just for his name.
And it's also a good thing for if there were any victims. Thank God there weren't any victims.
Yes, I mean we're certainly not rooting for that. On another note, on that's kind of the same vein, something interesting came out in these interviews, right? And it broke. Justina Anderson broke this. She's an NFL reporter for ESPN, where she said, "quote I'm told there's a recording of an interview with the adult son of one of 12 women the NFL interviewed in the Deshaun Watson case. He stated that his mom initially was complimentary of Watson in their conversations after the massage, but then later switched her account and tone after the other negative allegations surfaced about Watson." That's also a little bit concerning. Again, it doesn't mean that all of them did this. It doesn't mean they're all being dishonest, but of course it is a little bit disheartening to see that when someone's reputation's on the line, that people would kind of jump at this as an opportunity to maybe get a settlement or whatnot. So, you know, interesting that kind of came out regarding this particular victim in the Deshaun Watson case. They ended up actually not focusing on her. They're now focused on down to 5 women that they're continuing to talk to, which seem like they have maybe more meat on the bone with their allegations and maybe perhaps more serious allegations. 5 is still not a small number of women, but at the end of the day, yes, there might've been, who knows, others who maybe jumped on this, who didn't have a bad experience with Watson. Hopefully we'll get more details there, but Char, any just thoughts when hearing these two reports come out?
I have a shit ton of thoughts. It's that, again, to our conversation last weekend. And when you and I were talking, and I was so adamant about saying, I rather see a guilty man walked on an innocent man burned. This is the reason when I give my own personal experience at basically being raked over a coal by BS allegations and how it felt. When I was saying all this stuff, I was thinking, God, somebody's going to listen and they're going to say, this guy's a freaking asshole, right? Now I'm like, this is why we talk about this. When you realize that as a pro athlete, as a multi-million dollar athlete, that's famous, you are a target. You are, and they tell us this in NFL rookie camp symposiums, day one, you are a target, gentlemen. You will be targeted down and you will be hunted. And again, this is why a team like Houston was handing out NDAs to their quarterback, because they knew what these false allegations could mean and do. Again, now, God forbid that there's actually something out there that we don't know about, but as it stands, I'm happy because my point was made in one week of information.
And let's be clear, all the allegations aren't false, right? But when we're talking about things like rape, right, and violence and threats and force,
Right. And if you recall, that was our conversation.
That has not been found. It doesn't mean he didn't behave inappropriately. It doesn't mean he didn't do anything that would be, say, unbecoming of how you treat a lady, right?
Remember, I used the word as, is he a pervert? Yes. Remember, I kept saying, telling you, is he a freaking pervert and is he inappropriate? Yes. Does he deserve to freaking be suspended and be raked over the coals if he's a pervert? Absolutely not. Was he stupid? Yes. Okay. But does that mean that he needs that he needs to freaking miss out on a year of his career? Absolutely not.
Yeah, we're striking a balance here, right? He doesn't, just because he's not a violent, threatening rapist. It doesn't mean he's a model citizen either, right? Like, blast somewhere in the middle, and we'll see. So now where we stand today, he's supposedly and reportedly, in negotiation with the NFL in terms of figuring out an appropriate settlement.
It also, it's all for optics now. It's all purely for optics now.
It is, but it also seems to me like, and it also depends, like, these five women. What is their testimony exactly, right? To me, I think it's still very possible that the NFL suspends him for the full season, but no longer with the caveat of it being, quote, indefinite. We'll just, okay, I'll take my year, but that's it, right? You can't leave it open-ended now, right? Maybe that's
how it happens. It would be an absolute shame if, again, I would go off the premise that there was no accusations of force or rape or assault, right? This is what we're going off of, right?
Just that he was over-sexualized.
Because we never went to strip clubs and got naked women to dance all over us while we were playing in the NFL, right?
Yeah. To your point, we probably both know that he acted inappropriately. I think you also look at the amount of heat the NFL has caught for how they've, the Ray Rice situation and other domestic violence cases where they haven't really laid the hammer down. This could be something where they feel they need to make an example of someone.
Who knows? Shaking my head. This is bullshit. This is absolute bullshit.
We don't know what's going to happen yet, Char. Maybe he doesn't get the full.
Kurosh, he shouldn't be suspended.
What should he get?
3 games just because of stupidity.
So half a season on stupidity.
No, 3 games.
Oh, 3 games. Dude, well, that would, I mean, Zeke got 6.
Which was stupid.
And even in that situation, the initial lead investigator was like, there's nothing here.
Right.
And so they took her off the case.
This is a situation where you have a bunch of 50-year-old white women trying to rule the NFL. This is a situation where all the Karens in the world have decided to enter into the arena of every arena in the world, because what they know is right. What they do, how they do things is the correct way. How they feel is the correct way. And everybody else should follow suit. This is now, I'm saying he should get 3. I'm not saying that that's what he's going to get. I'm saying I didn't think Zeke should have gotten any. I don't think Zeke should have gotten any, but he got 6.
He got 6, yeah.
Right. So when I say he should get 3, simply because you were dumb.
Well, and there's another case that's kind of similar. I don't know if you remember the Robert Kraft situation where he was, for lack of a better term, engaging in extracurricular activities at a massage parlor. And the NFL really imposed no punishment on him.
Thank you.
He's also an owner. Right. So
no, but then if you say he's an owner, no. If he's an owner, he should be held to higher standards than a player.
Theoretically, yes.
Yes.
But also, but as an owner, you are Roger Goodell's boss, right? So that's a bit of a conflict of interest there.
And this is where I always tell you, there's not a racial divide for justice in this country. There's a socioeconomical divide in this country. Because if Robert Kraft was not the billionaire boss of Roger Goodell, if he was just a player, he would have been hit with something. We all know that, correct?
Correct. And I also think with him, despite it being highly inappropriate, it was consensual. He was paying for it, but it was basically like prostitution, right? Which is illegal.
And Kurosh, how many times did I tell you, I wanted to do a deep dive into those women's Instagrams and to see how they portray themselves as massage therapists. if they're actually licensed massage therapists or not. And I wanted to know,
do you have
an Instagram account?
I do. It's more for consumption than it is posting, but yes, I do.
Okay. I haven't been on Instagram in a long time, but at one point I
follow you on there, by the way.
Okay. So, do you know on a daily basis how many messages I get from women around Orange County for one sort of another supposed business? Oh, hey, we would like to interview. And then I go and take a look at their Instagram, and I'm like, oh, 80% of their pictures is in bikinis. I'm like, okay, block.
What you're telling me is you don't think that these ladies were wearing burkas or nuns' uniforms in their
right. And look, here's my point. I'm sorry, ladies, if there's any ladies listening to this, because I think by now I might have just scared everybody away. There is Bill Burr, the great Brit Bill Burr, said, is anybody ever going to talk about the pandemic of gold digging that we have going on in this country? Verbatim all out of Bill Burr's mouth. Okay. And I agree with him. I told you that did I talk about this last week when a girl came in front of my wife and said, yeah, we used to party together? I'm like,
you mentioned
like, I mean, I've seen this shit. I've seen it. The stories that I tell, people don't believe because they're like, are you out of your, like, why would a girl come to your autograph signing and just claim that you guys have partied together? I said, God, I don't know.
Sure. I think the problem with this is a broader topic, but the problem, at least in this country, I see a lot is, if you speak out against one thing, that people automatically assume that you don't acknowledge the other side, right? And so I think when I'm in this situation, it's like, well, if you speak about maybe the struggles that men have or that women have, it doesn't mean you're negating what the other side is going through, right? It's there's ways that men act out that are extremely inappropriate unbecoming, there's things that probably women do that are similarly equivalent that are not right either, right? So it's not about saying it's only one side or the other. I think it's right. There's no need to be polarizing here and saying
all somebody has to do is going to listen to our last pod when I said if it's proven that Deshaun Watson forcibly had sex with these women or assaulted and used his physical power, didn't I say he should burn and he should never play again?
You did.
I mean, that's exactly what I said. Reason being is that those violent guys, those who was that Greg Hardy guy that played for your Cowboys? The Aaron Hernandez's of the world,
he killed people, but it's a little bit different.
I'm saying the very small percentage of bad seeds give rise to the huge amount of false accusations that are out there. That's why I say they should burn in hell.
Right. Well, are we talking about this life or the afterlife now?
Here's the thing. Remember how I told you? I feel very strong. If somebody forcibly rapes another person,
yeah,
I don't think there's any amount of, because that's almost worse than death, because you have emotionally fucked that person for how many years?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So look, I'm the guy that says if you find somebody that's truly racist and is actively using his position of power to hold people that he doesn't like down, that person needs to fucking pay. And there's no forgiving for that. All right. I'm that guy. But also I'm saying stop with all this bullshit, nonsense and false accusations. And you know what? It's a fucking 50-year-old white women that run around that have their hairs in a fucking bun and go yelling and screaming and saying that they need to protect minorities like us. We don't need your help. All right. So, you know what? Go sit in your little fucking minivan. Go to Whole Foods. Get your fucking organic cherries. Go get your Starbucks and then go home and shut the fuck up. All right. Stay out of the fucking NFL. Sorry.
Mr. Perdonish, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry.
Perdonish 2024.
Yes.
No. Okay. So at the end of the day, I think we felt it was important to shed light on these developments in the Deshaun Watson case. Verdict still pending. We'll see what they come down with, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it.
Verdict shouldn't be pending. As soon as I heard there's zero accusations of force and assault, it needs to be done. The guy's a pervert.
Sure, you said it yourself. It's about optics at this point. right?
So, but it shouldn't be. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Well, it is, and I suspect there'll be something, and I think there's a really good chance it happens soon because they want to get ahead of this before training camp kicks off. So we'll probably be talking about it again next week, if I'm being honest, right?
and it's sad because again, it proved my point that for every real case of this evil shit going on, there's thousands of bullshit accusations. And that's why I said I would rather see a guilty man walk than an innocent man burn. Because to be, I don't think any of you have been on the other side of it. I've been on the other side of it. I told you that before our show started, I said for 18 months, I sat there in court while my ex-wife brought in one witness after another saying how I tried to kill her and how I beat her constantly. And for 18 months, I sat there and just eating this. I sat there eating it. And the people in the court were saying, who is this fucking monster? Witness after witness after witness. And I had to sit there and keep my mouth shut while these people said these horrible things about me. And I felt it. I saw it. I'm like, and there was times that I'm like questioning myself. I'm like, I went and saw a psychiatrist and I literally said to him, am I nuts? Because maybe I am evil. Maybe these people are telling the truth. What if I told the doctor, I'm like, what if I am evil? And she laughed at me. She says, no, you're not. She said to me, if you were psychopathic, you would never even contemplate that maybe you're wrong. You would always say that you're right. So it was horrible. And then by the end of the court case, the judge was like, just like looking at my ex-wife, like you're crazy and you're nuts and threw the case out. All right. So Deshaun Watson, did he make a mistake? Yeah.
Yeah. But I also, is it crazy to think that a young millionaire would act that way? No. Does it make it okay? No. I think both things can be true.
Have you seen that South Park episode where they said there's a pandemic of men with power or sexually? Have you seen that? Have you seen that, how they're affected sexually?
Honestly, I've not watched a lot of South Park in my life, so no.
Okay, so there's an episode where they're saying there's a pandemic of rich and powerful men keep getting caught having affairs on their wives, and they're trying to say why is that? And all these guys are going along with their wives are saying, "Oh, honey, we don't know why they're doing this. Oh, it must be the water. It must be something." The guys with the money and fame simply have the ability to do what they want, whereas the rest of people don't.
But that shouldn't be a pass to make it okay. That's what I'm trying to say. That's not a pass.
No, I'm not saying it's a pass, but it's also all these fake accusations shouldn't be okay either.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, two things can be true. Right. Like, dudes shouldn't act that way, and people shouldn't get accused for things they didn't do. Right. Let's just be better. All right, moving on. Shar, we talked about the mess that was the Cowboys failing to hang on to Randy Gregory. Right. And how they, over some stupid contract language, they lost their star defensive end. Well, it looks like, according to Von Miller, right after that whole situation played out, they attempted to go after Von Miller and get him. And he's actually was talking with NFL Network this week, Von Miller was. And he said, really, it was the money that kept them from doing it. And he said, I quote, I told them I was ready to come to Dallas. I would have taken less to go to Dallas because it's Dallas. But I wouldn't take that much less. And what he means is the Cowboys basically offered a mirror of the Gregory deal. 5 years, $70 million, $28 million guaranteed. Ultimately, and you could blame the guy, Buffalo Bills signed him. 6 years, $120 million, $51 million. So, yeah, don't blame Miller. He wanted to come to Dallas. He's a Texas native. But, you know, ultimately money talks, right? And, of course, as a Cowboy fan, it would have been a nice consolation prize to have been able to get Von Miller after losing Gregory for such a stupid contractual language reason. But the Bills backed up the Brinks truck and the Cowboys were left high and dry. But do we really want to be tied up in a contract like that? It seems a little bit steep for a guy at Von Miller's stage, but the Cowboys tried. They made it. They made a play and they acknowledged that they needed help at pass rush. It just didn't work out with Von.
Okay, here's the thing. First of all, the narrative that it was the Cowboys' fault that Gregory left is debatable, because I think Gregory needs, you know, we already spoke about that, but that's besides the point. Secondly, the Cowboys did the right thing. The Cowboys offered above what I believe above fair market value to Von Miller, who was going to come in and possibly be the third best pass rusher on that defense. Okay, Von Miller, God bless you. Hey, Von. When I say these things, don't think that I'm begrudging you. God bless you. You should laugh all the way to the fucking bank. The people that I'm looking sideways at are the Buffalo Bills. Now, some might say, oh, they have the cap space this year. But you're trying to tell me that they paid Von Miller how much per year? How much?
6 years, $120 million. So basically $20 million a year.
Plus
$51 million guaranteed compared to the Cowboys' $28 million guaranteed.
Okay. How much you paid almost 10% of your cap space on an aging superstar on the wrong end of the trajectory of his career? Not only did you now, if I don't, I would,
but George, I would, in, but he did come in and have an impact for the Rams in the playoffs, right?
Yeah,
but,
and how much were the Rams paying him, Kurosh?
I don't know, actually.
Okay. It was very minimal, Kurosh.
If you look at the way the Bills season ended, not being able to stop the Chiefs to get in field goal range with 12 seconds left on the clock, you probably figure if we had a pass rush, right? Maybe we wouldn't be in the situation.
Kurosh. That was, I don't care. You're trying to tell me that Von Miller on the Bills last year, the biggest difference wouldn't have been them making that play at the end of the game. The difference would have been that they would have had been seated first in the AFC. So that play was the defensive coordinator should be raked over the coal for that. Not because, sure. I didn't have the players.
I'm just saying, when you look at the Bills, they're missing an elite pass rusher. And you look at the way the Rams formula they built to win a championship, you know, that's they thought.
Oh, no. Kurosh, I agree that he's going to help them. But how much of your future have you mortgaged? They better win the Super Bowl this year. They better win the Super Bowl this year, because having Von Miller for so many years on that contract, who are you going to not be able to sign in the next few years?
Yeah. Clearly, they are willing to mortgage the future because they think they can win now. I think that's clear. So
I think the Bills are getting a pass with this move, which is ridiculous to me, which is absolutely ridiculous to me, because it is going to have, again, I don't know much about the cap. And I really would like to hear what somebody like Mike Lombardi would have to say about the consequences of signing somebody like this.
And he was all over the fact that it was not a smart cap move. But like you said, if they win the Super Bowl this year.
It's fine. But let me ask something. If the Rams go 4-11, or sorry, not 4-11, if they go 6-11 next season, okay, and they're not good for like 3 to 4 years to come, do you think people are gonna say, oh yeah, we suck, but you know what? We did win the Super Bowl 4 years ago. NFL stands for not for long. You know, what have you done for me lately? So
I mean, you say that, but dude, I think I would, as a Cowboy fan, I would take a Super Bowl.
Kurosh,
happy for 5 years.
You guys have 5 trophies. How have you felt in the last 10 years?
25, you mean? Awful.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Again, this is a very hyperbolic, and it's not a fair comparison because you're talking about 3 years ago versus 25 years. But my point being is that you want to be competitive. And look, if there was no salary cap, I would say fantastic. Great.
Right, because it doesn't matter.
It's like, look, this is a guy that goes and buys his fiance or girlfriend the $300,000 ring, and he only makes $200,000 a year, and he needs to be paying this off for the next 6 years. And then she's going to end up dumping him 2 years down the line, and he's stuck still making those payments. This is going to be.
Oh, man, what a terrible – do you know someone like that?
Southern California.
It sounds like you know that guy.
Southern California, are you? I would never. No, not me.
You know a guy who went through that or something.
Come to my gym with me one day, and literally we can go on. It's a huge gym. It's a 3-story tall gym, and it's fantastic. It's a sports club, and come with me. And literally at any one point, I could go onto the gym floor or the basketball courts and pull out somebody that can tell you a horror story like that.
This is
Orange County, the cesspool of humanity in terms of money grubbing and showing off and having a nicer car than your neighbor. He's driving the same car from 3 years ago. Well, he must be broke. This is Orange County.
So I think the point is, what I will say to close on the Von Miller topic is, he'll probably make more of an impact in Buffalo than he would have been able to make in Dallas, right?
Absolutely.
Because the Cowboys still have got Randy Gregory. Excuse me. They still got DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, who
that
position last year was an absolute stud, just
right,
filling in last year. So yeah, it's a bummer that they didn't work out with either of those two guys, but I think he'll have a bigger impact in Buffalo. And we'll get to Super Bowl picks. I might be flirting with Buffalo. Let me ask something.
If the Bills go to the Super Bowl and lose it, and then they make the AFC Championship game next year and lose it, and they fizzle away, will this be a good move?
No, you have to win a Super Bowl for it to be a good move.
All right. That's a lot to ask of an aging guy. And again, part of the reason why Von Miller was great last year is because he was the third focal point on that defensive line.
Right.
You had Jalen Ramsey, you had Aaron Donald, and then far distance below, you had Von Miller.
Yeah.
So let's right now in Buffalo, he's maybe number one or number two focal point, possibly. Certainly putting pressure on the quarterback. The focus on the defense is going to be on him, right?
For sure.
Okay. For sure. That's my biggest worry.
So yeah, he doesn't get to come home to Texas, but boy oh boy, does he make a lot more money in the process. So good.
Oh, God bless him, Von Miller. God love you. Awesome.
Laugh. You said laugh all the way to the bank.
Yes.
Speaking of Von Miller's former team, the Rams. Let's segue that into our West preview. And start with the NFC West. Sound good?
Absolutely. Love it. All right. My hometown, baby.
Well, let's start this thing with the Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams. Probably the favorites to win the division in light of the fact that there's some quarterback changes happening in both San Francisco and Seattle with the departure of Russell Wilson there, as well as Arizona. You know, yeah, they're a playoff team. We've talked about Kyler Murray and some of our concerns about him. So I think coming into the season, you've got to think, the Rams are the odds-on favorite to take this division. Also, don't forget, Char, they did add Bobby Wagner from Seattle. I think
beautiful.
He's a nice veteran defensive piece. You still got the core of that team over there. And then Allen Robinson, another nice move for them. They did part ways to Robert Woods, lost him to Tennessee. Allen Robinson's no slouch. Cooper Kupp's going to do what he does. Van Jefferson came along very beautifully last year as well. The core of this team is still very much in place, Char, outside of the late run they made with Von Miller, but like still a very, very, very talented roster. And then you've got, you know, I think of Cam Akers, who really didn't play until the playoffs last year. He'll hopefully get a full season under his belt as well. You know, I mean, this is a loaded team across the board.
Love it.
And just looking at this, by the way, they retained Raheem Morris as defensive coordinator. I think that's huge. Raheem Morris is a phenomenal defensive mind. So to keep him another year is also big for them. I think he's probably going to be gone. He's going to be head coach to me probably next year. So Rams, Super Bowl champs, and probably favorites to win the division. Any thoughts on the Rams and this division as a whole as we kick this off?
Yeah, it's quite a change from last year. Last year we were thinking that, God, who's like literally – If memory serves well, I held the position that if you pick any of the four teams to win the division, I can't really argue with you.
Right.
Remember that we were saying this division is just going to be crazy. This division got significantly worse. While the Rams, dare I say, got better.
Don't forget one loss I will talk about. Andrew Whitworth, left tackle, retired on a high note.
Long-time
veteran.
Yeah, but
Noteboom. I know you like Noteboom. Noteboom is going to step in and replace him, but you liked the way he played down the stretch last year.
And literally last year, I said Noteboom is going to be key for them when Whitworth leaves because Noteboom is a hell of a freaking player. Watch Noteboom be an all-pro. Mark my words. Watch Noteboom be an all-pro in the next 2 years. His footwork was amazing and he's big and strong. So look, yeah. So no, they didn't. The Rams got better. The division got worse. Obviously you have Russell Wilson gone. Seattle is a freaking rebuild disaster. All right. San Francisco, dare I say, if they do go with Trey Lance, that there's a chance that they might struggle early on.
Let's assume that.
Right. They're going to struggle. Can somebody tell me that I'm being out of my mind if I say somebody that played in the Division I AA is going to come in and struggle a little bit at the beginning, right?
I absolutely. I mean, I maybe more than most weigh level of comp pretty heavy,
right? Especially at quarterback. Right. So Arizona, DeAndre Hopkins missing the first six games.
Yep. That's tough.
You know, so look.
They obviously did bring in Hollywood Brown. They kept AJ Green, right? But yeah, basically DeAndre Hopkins, and then who is the kid? Christian Kirk. Their top two guys from last year.
Hollywood Brown is a good replacement for Christian Kirk. That's in that position. I actually like Hollywood Brown more than Christian Kirk in that slot position. But the loss of DeAndre Hopkins, it's got to be worth a game here. I mean, like, so again, at the very best case scenario, Arizona didn't get better. Okay. Whereas the Rams, look, Robert Woods is going to be heavily missed. Because you know how I feel about Robert Woods. And I'm not talking about in terms of fantasy production.
Just his value and ability to run the route tree.
The route tree and the way he opened up the defense for other players, okay? The addition of Allen Robinson is a good replacement for OBJ. That's you're not going to be able to replace Robert Woods. Allen Robinson is more of a replacement for OBJ as having a good, solid wide receiver. But look, the Rams have gotten better, and I'm gonna bet they're over on wins and losses, because I think the first part of the year they're gonna kind of coast through it.
Here's actually what I would say. The one thing I would challenge what you said, Char. I actually believe that, assuming the Niners go to Trey Lance, that out of the gate he's actually gonna look good. They're gonna use him in a way that teams are not accustomed to seeing. That's and true. I think defenses might struggle early on, and perhaps after game 5, 6, 7 is when you'll see there's more tape on him, and then teams can adjust, and you'll probably see maybe him taper off a little bit, right?
Yeah, but he's going to get better too. You're talking about on his legs. You're not talking throwing wise.
But right, but it's right. Right. But what I'm saying is the way that Shanahan can use him because of his legs, I think will be a problem early on, and they'll probably figure him out as the season progresses. I also could see.
That's fair.
I mean, say what. And by the way, say what we will about the uncertainty around Trey Lance, which I agree with. This team still has Deebo Samuel for now, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. They've got some weapons, right? They did lose a couple of running backs. I mean, Raheem Mostert missed last year anyway.
That's a no loss. That's a non-factor.
Elijah Mitchell, solid. Jeff Wilson Jr., nice player, right? Trey Sermon, who knows what will happen to him? He was a high draft pick. Maybe he gets it together. They have some talent on the team. And then look, I mean, the defense. Defensive front, especially Nick Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, Eric Armstead, you know, Fred Warner, the all-pro linebacker. I mean, they got some players now. So I actually could foresee, and I think what I think is going to happen in the division, Seattle, the transition, probably they'll finish last this year. They lost their franchise quarterback. They're rebuilding.
Probably 100% they're going to finish.
We all know this, right?
Right.
I could actually see San Francisco finishing ahead of Arizona this year as second. But in reality, the West's only sending one playoff team this year, and that being the Rams. That's I can see that reality where really the Rams are the only team that make it from the West.
I 100% agree with you that it could happen that they only send one team, but absolutely San Francisco is a close second behind the Rams. 100%. It's going to rely on that quarterback. And what I was saying about Trey Lance is that it's not unforeseeable that he's going to throw a late game pick to lose a game for him early on because of some kind of a rookie mistake. That's like you know how Justin Fields was struggling early on and then kind of got it together as he went on. So
well, and let's not forget Char until the NFC Championship game, and that was the big one. But up until that game,
they had their number. Yeah,
McVay had never beat Shanahan. They still have their number.
And look, I remember when they won that game, I bet them. If you recall, I bet them and I was taking victory laps. But I was nervous. I mean,
who was it? Jimmy Ward dropped an interception late
in
that
game. Would have
Totally turned the tide.
That was the game, Coors. What do you mean turn the tide? That was the game.
Yeah.
One thing I want to add to the Rams getting better, them losing Von Miller is far overshadowed by them getting Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is one of the if Bobby Wagner was playing in Baltimore or with the Steelers or in a big market team, Bobby Wagner would have been a household name. The guy, the way he runs a defense, the way he calls a defense. And here's the thing, he's on the field on all three downs. And yeah.
He's a quarterback of the defense, effectively.
Absolutely. And if you have, it's the greatest defenses of all time. They always had that solid quarterback on the defense that was on the Ray Lewis, LeVon Kirkland of the Steelers. Like you're talking about, you know, all those great teams in the past. It's huge to be able to have your middle linebacker in there on all three downs. It's very huge. Okay. So I think them losing Von Miller, their defense is better now by them getting Bobby Wagner.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. Great signing for them. And of course, to the chagrin of Seattle, right? Who, you know, of course, you know, you're going to part with your guy, but probably burns a little bit to see him now go to your biggest rival in the division.
Right. Best thing that could have happened for them is Bobby Wagner went to the Jets. You know, somebody like that, or, you know, some AFC East team that they only see once, but now you're going to see him twice a week. And here's the thing, though, this was a good move for Seattle because they're on a rebuild. And it's a good move for Bobby Wagner because, look, the guy's going to have a chance of winning, you know, competing for Super Bowls. So I like it.
By the way, speaking of Drew Locke and the Seahawks, did you see there was a kind of a Twitter thing taking a shot at him? So the U.S. Open, so ESPN SportsCenter on their Twitter account posted a clip of Rafa Nadal, a highlight from him.
Right.
And they wrote, this is cold-blooded, like great play. This is cold-blooded play by Nadal. And then a Seahawk fan whose Twitter handle is SeahawksFan2314 with DK Metcalf as his profile picture tweeted back at SportsCenter, not a sport, tennis being not a sport.
Right.
And then the U.S. Open Twitter account replied to him and said, quote, not a sport, says the person about to watch 17 games of Drew Locke at QB. This is the official U.S. Open account.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, just going for the jugular.
That's awesome. Day. But here's the thing, though. They shouldn't have said anything because they literally, whoever that joker is that said that, that's exactly what he wanted. He wanted to get national attention and you know.
Here's the thing. Drew Locke was cool about it. Drew Locke actually, then he posted, happy fourth to all, but especially to the intern at the U.S. Open. So he's talking about the guy you posted, right? So Drew Locke was a good sport.
I know, and he's pretty smart about it. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that is fantastic. So
I think if he took it personally, it would have. Yeah, it would have been like.
Oh, he took it personally.
If he outwardly showed that he took it
personally. Right. No. He did. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. But yeah. So yeah, that's the state of Seattle right now. You know, those running backs. I mean, Pete Carroll's going to get his wish. I mean, like you're talking about student body left, student body right. They're going to run the ball about 40 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, and they drafted a kid named Kenneth Walker, Rashad Penny.
Hey, he's a good player.
Last year, they still got Chris Carson. So, yeah, I mean, they're probably going to be running the ball a lot more than they're accustomed to with Russell Wilson. And we'll see if Drew Locke pans out or if he's just a kind of a stopgap type guy. But I think we agree it's a rebuilding year for them. It's not a knock on Seattle; it's just where they are for the 2022 season. And I think it's really going to be a battle between Arizona and San Francisco for that second place spot. And I'm just going to say it now. I don't think and it's crazy to say, a year ago, we were talking about with the way the playoffs are being seven teams, maybe the NFC West is the division that sends everybody to the playoffs.
Right.
Now, you know, how things have changed. I'm actually predicting they're only going to send one team to the playoffs. And that's going to be.
Right. Here's the thing, though. The one thing I disagree with you. I don't think it's a battle for second place with the Cardinals and the 49ers. I think it's a battle for first place between the 49ers and the Rams. I think the discrepancy.
I don't think I agree with that.
The only reason why I'm even being so confident about saying that the Rams are going to win the division is because of that young quarterback. If it wasn't for that young quarterback, if this was Trey Lance maybe in his third year, I would give the division to the 49ers because that defense is just ferocious.
Yeah, but I'm taking the young quarterback. Right. Development, Trey Lance, into the equation when I'm making the prediction.
You know how I feel about Arizona.
It doesn't mean I'm attacking. I'm just saying it is very first year as a starter.
Right.
Okay? There's going to be growing pains, and I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I'm sure that the Niner fans are going to come after me for this. Right. This is not Niner hate. Right. This is just reality. And look, if he proves me wrong, God bless him. Right. But if I'm looking at the division right now as it is, the Rams are the only team that I feel confident will be a playoff team for this year. Doesn't mean Trey Lance isn't going to be a great player. Doesn't mean he's not going to develop.
But we don't know what it's going to be. But I think the reason why you're saying this is because the Rams went to Dallas last year and knocked them out of the playoffs. I think that's the only reason why you're saying this.
The Niners.
I'm sorry, right, the Niners. Yes, what did I say? Yeah. Oh, did I say I meant the Niners went in and slapped and look, the Niners are always good for traveling on the road in the playoffs and beating somebody. Whether it's Green Bay or Dallas, they
tend to go deep, man.
It's, right.
It happens, right. Right? But yeah, that's the West. Would you agree then, Shar, that it's likely that one team comes out? The question is it the Niners or the Rams? Or do you think, no, you could foresee the Niners and the Rams both making the playoffs and maybe they're still battling for first place? Like they kind of basically just like last year, they're battling for the division. Both made the playoffs.
I think the Niners are going to figure it out by the end of the year, and you're going to make a push kind of like they did last season. I really believe in the Niners, how they run the ball, how they play offense, and how they build up their defense. So I think if like what team in the NFC from the other divisions are really going to compete? It's that nobody out of the NFC East is going to come. NFC South, you got Tampa, and NFC North, you have Green Bay.
But that's a fair point. But sure, here's the thing. At the end of the day, there's a reason why every year, pretty much, you see in the NFL, it's kind of the beauty of the NFL, is that half the teams that made it don't make it back, right? So inevitably, there's going to be teams that weren't in it last year that are in it this year. Who that's going to be?
Right.
You know, but it's not like the Saints. The Saints barely missed out last year. I could see the Saints and the Bucks going to the playoffs, right? I could foresee maybe like Minnesota's not a great team, but Minnesota could be a playoff team, right?
Look, like you're trying to tell me that the 49ers, even if they don't win the division, they're going to be the fourth best non-divisional championship team in the NFC. No, I don't.
That's a fair point, right? Because to your point, I think, yeah, you're probably right that unless you have a second team that comes out of the East, but like, to be honest, is it crazy to say that Dallas, Philly, Green Bay, Minnesota, New Orleans, Tampa all make the playoffs and then the Rams?
No, it's not.
So I'm just saying, that reality.
But the odds are that the 49ers, look, basically every team is going to send in their champion, and you figure
it's all about the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback.
Right. And to your point, Arizona's still there, so maybe Arizona will end up being the second place team. So who knows?
Sure. Okay, Shar. Let's go now to the AFC West, who I think could be the best division in football this year potentially. Right? We talked about.
What do you mean? Could be. They are.
On paper,
right?
Absolutely are. Why? What are the headlines? Well, the Broncos added Russell Wilson, so Russell Wilson stays in the West. He's just in the AFC West now, right? The Las Vegas Raiders pairing Derek Carr with his college buddy Devontae Adams, paying a king's ransom to bring arguably one of the NFL's best receivers to Las Vegas, and the Chargers are the Chargers, right? But the Chargers, you know, you've got, of course, the star quarterback, Justin Herbert, coming back. You've got your weapons in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams coming back as well. They're going to be a solid team. They missed the playoffs by one game last year.
Because of their coach, right?
But they're viewed as a very much an up-and-coming team, right? So, look, we look at this division, and then we talked about, of course, the Chiefs, who have won this division the past few years. They lost Tyreek Hill, right? So I think we could argue, yes, you've got Mahomes. Anytime you've got Mahomes, you're in it. You can win any game. But it's a situation now where the gap between the Chiefs and the rest of the division, I'm not saying it's closed, but it's a hell of a lot closer than it was at this time last year, right? So very intriguing division. Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert. I mean, that is a, what would you call it? A quartet. As good of a quarterback quartet as you're going to see in any division in football. Initial thoughts on the AFC West, Shar?
Yeah, the best division on paper. And I mean, look, you have four Pro Bowl quarterbacks in that division. Yeah, four Pro Bowl quarterbacks in that division. So,
and by the way, don't forget the arms race, right? Don't forget the fact that, yes, while the Chargers on offense didn't do a ton, they signed Khalil Mack, right? It's going to be huge. Now you pair Khalil Mack with a Joey Bosa. So the arms race is there, right?
Derwin James. I mean, like, let's not forget about him. Yeah, I mean.
Derwin James, and then you got the Broncos that they added. Let's start with the Broncos, okay? So we know Russell Wilson is a massive upgrade for them at quarterback, right? They're a solid team through and through. Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Cortland Sutton, really nice trio of wide receivers, right? They did lose Noah Fant in that trade to Seattle, but a really solid team through and through. And man, two very nice running backs, Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, were one of probably the best running back tandem in the league last year. So this offense is ready to rock and roll. And oh, by the way, defense is already a strong point in the team. They added Randy Gregory to that mix as well to add some firepower.
If he can stay off the weed.
Well, look, Bradley Chubb, Randy Gregory, Josie Jewell, a really, really solid interior linebacker for them as well. And then we know their secondary, you know, Kareem Jackson, Ronald Darby, Justin Simmons. This is a really solid defense already. They added a stellar pass rusher, and they got a massive upgrade at quarterback in Russell Wilson. I really like Denver's role. I mean, I would argue, look at Denver's team. You could argue they're in the top three of just most complete teams in terms of how the roster is built out.
No, Denver was literally just missing a quarterback last year.
Yeah,
they have one of the best defenses,
and they didn't lose anyone significant.
No, right? they didn't, and I really like what they've done. LA is a phenomenal team, and you know, and no, I'm not being a homer because I'm friends with a bunch of their guys, and in fact, they said to give a shout out. One of them said told me to give a shout out to you. So, anyways, look, LA's got the only team that's gotten worse is KC.
Yeah, absolutely, and we can go there. By the way, I think Mark Rippon, right, former Washington guy,
yeah.
His son Brett Rippon is one of the backup quarterbacks on the Broncos. So he gets to learn behind Russell Wilson. Hopefully, a good opportunity for his career. But Brett Rippon, I just saw the last name. I thought
Mark's a good buddy of mine. You know, we got pretty close in the alumni. In the alumni games when we go back every year for the Redskins.
Yeah,
no,
he was a solid player for many
years. Oh, great guy. But no, look, we're going to see, the greatness of Patrick Mahomes is going to be either put to the test. Absolutely.
Put to the test a little bit. He's still great. Now, look, we'll talk about the Chiefs, right? And they basically kind of went the addition by subtraction route. So they did draft Sky Moore out of Western Michigan, solid weapon. Speed guy, no one's going to come in and replace Tyreek Hill, right? But what they did was they took a wildly talented receiver with their first pick of the second round. Then they went out and added Juju Smith-Schuster, Solid piece at the receiving end. And then they got Marquez Valdes-Scantling from Green Bay. So it's
deep threat, like another deep threat. Yes.
Yeah. Can we take these pieces and still have a lethal offense? I think they can.
Of course.
Now, as Michael Lombardi says, you know, Tyreek Hill's the only guy when he gets it thrown to him, everyone's holding their balls, right?
Like, right.
You're not going to have that element in your offense anymore, right?
Right.
But they can still be extremely effective, in my opinion. And you still got Travis Kelce, right, who's still playing at an extremely high level and is going to be a productive player. So, Edwards-Helaire, and then Ronald Jones. They signed Ronald Jones in the offseason.
And let's not forget McKinley, who came on really strong for them last year.
Jared McKinnon. Yeah, the Jet McKinnon.
McKinnon, sorry. Oh, nice. Not McKinley. Yeah, yeah. That was a president, McKinley. anyways, no, look, let's not forget when Juju Smith-Schuster had a good quarterback and was not the primary weapon on an offense.
So
he won MVP of the Steelers in 2019, yes, when he had Antonio Brown and Ben was still Ben. All right.
That's actually when Antonio Brown was offended that Juju won the MVP.
Right, right. Juju, anyway. No. Who's the primary pass catcher in Kansas City? Obviously, well, Travis Kelce. So Juju has been known to play a great second fiddle. And look, some people are made like that, Kuro. Some people are made like that where they can't handle the pressure of being the alpha. and they just gotta go in and they're fantastic players. And you know,
by the way, bear in mind that last offseason the Chiefs wanted to sign Juju and he opted to stay, or I think it's 2 years ago, he opted to stay in Pittsburgh. So he ultimately gets to go. And I was like, man, why would you do that? Big Ben is towards the end of his career. You have opportunity to build your young guy, build your career on Patrick Mahomes. Ultimately, it works out. He gets to go there, which is awesome.
And I bet you if you ask him now, he says he made a mistake.
By not going sooner,
right.
But so maybe it worked out to now where Tyreek's gone. Things happen the way they were supposed to, right?
Right.
So I think it's going to work out for them, right? It's going to be different, but still effective, in my humble opinion. When we're talking about Kansas City,
they're going to be phenomenal. But there's certain players that are just absolute lethal weapons.
Yeah.
Right. You cannot replace a Tyreek Hill. You cannot replace an Alvin Kamara. You cannot replace.
They can still be a Super Bowl contender without Tyreek.
Yeah. Hill. Of course. Yes. I mean, look. The Rams went to the Super Bowl without a single weapon like that.
Don't forget the Chiefs also have Josh Gordon.
Come on, Kuro. Seriously.
He's, as of right now, technically on the depth chart.
Kurosh, okay, this is 2022, not 2012, all right? Josh Gordon's about 10 years too late. Josh Gordon's, and look, an excellent example of why a guy couldn't wait. Like, you seriously couldn't wait until you tried to go and smoke out? Give me a break. I mean, so he's paying the price.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he is on the roster. So
is he gonna have more than 30 receptions, Kurosh?
30? No, 30 is a little bit rich. 30 is a little bit rich.
Okay, so exactly. So why are we even talking about him? I mean, I know because you're just trying to get a rise out. You're trying to get a rise out of me, and effectively, and you did. But no, look, the Chargers, if that coach doesn't do something idiotic in terms of like not punting or not kicking field goals,
that might be a big if. That might be a big
Yeah, and that's why I'm mentioning it. That's why I'm mentioning it. I mean, you know, the Chargers could be the best team in LA.
And let's look at this now. They've built this team beautifully, right? Because they drafted Justin Herbert. Then what did they do last year? First round pick, left tackle, Rashawn Slater. This year, first round pick, star right guard, Zion Johnson, out of Boston College. So they've put some nice investment into protecting their franchise. And hey, we talked about the receivers. You've also got Austin Ekeler, Joshua Kelly. They've got some nice players at running back. I think they drafted a guy named Isaiah Spiller out of Texas A&M in the fourth round this year as well. We'll see how that pans out. But they still have a ton of weapons here. And you mentioned Derwin James. They drafted Asante Samuel Jr. last year. Phenomenal player. It looks very promising, right? J.C. Jackson. They added in free agency as well. So, and then
Von Miller. Forgot one thing. Last year, before the season started, they went and got the best center in the NFL from Green Bay. So,
Corey Linsley.
So, no, their offensive line, 2 years ago, their offensive line was an absolute weak point on that team.
Now, Corey Linsley, Rashawn Slater, and now the first round pick right guard, Zion Johnson.
And here's the thing, and contrary to what the PFF guys say, that, one great offensive lineman, you need five of them. No, when you have a great offensive lineman like that, everybody else becomes better because now there's less responsibility and less pressure on the other guys. So you've
taken a defense. So just look at their defensive star power. Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Derwin James, Asante Samuel, promising second-year player, J.C. Jackson. I mean, there's some players in this team now. They've assembled some talent. And to your point, you're right. It's going to fall on the coaching because they have a roster that can beat anybody any week.
Oh, absolutely. And look, they're phenomenally – they're more. I think they're more talented than the Rams.
It's you can make an argument.
Who's got the better quarterback moving forward?
Yeah, Herbert.
Chargers.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right. They are more talented than the Rams.
Of course, right. But obviously, the head coach plays a. But then again, the head coach is also, you know, he's very similar to the Rams coach. So I don't know. I just don't believe in him. But look, again, all you Charger guys, that like to give me crap because you say I'm not being fair to you guys. Here you go. You've won the offseason 2 years in a row. Now let's see what else you can do.
The amount of ways that Brandon Staley blew games last year, and the way it came to a head in that final game that was essentially a play-in game. Man, I really hope it's more of a he learns from it versus this is who he is, right? I know as a
Cowboy, watch him double down.
As a Cowboy fan, I know the frustration of building a talented roster only to see it mean nothing when in strategic moments your coaches know what to do. It sucks. And I hope to God that's not the case with the Chargers because they've built a hell of a talented roster.
Watch the Chargers blow two games because of stupidity. How many times did we talk about in the last 2 years that we were doing our show? The first year was with their coach.
What was his name?
The offensive coordinator.
I can't remember.
Black player, a running back. God, he was horrible. Like he did it. He did it through
Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn. He was just god awful. How many games did they throw away last year? They lost. Kurosh, they won me money by losing to the Chiefs on stupidity. They should have won the division.
Yeah, I know.
And then what they did with the Raiders? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, the fourth downs and yeah, I know. And that Chiefs game was terrible. Like
the Chiefs game, he should have been fired. Well, obviously, you know, being hyperbolic, but he should have been put to the test or put to the question because of what he did against the Chiefs.
Maybe he did, but. Yeah, so there's no argument here. The Chargers are wildly talented. I think the coaching staff is, and the head coach really is the question mark here. Is can his level of talent rise up to the talent on his roster? And look, let's not forget about the Raiders. The Raiders were a playoff team last year. As much as we love Denver and LA's talent, the Raiders actually made the playoffs last year, right?
Yep.
And they added Devontae Adams to the roster as well, to pair with his college teammate, Derek Carr. We saw Hunter Renfrow come into his own last year. He's a very, very nice piece. And then look.
Yes, defensive line, the Raiders defensive line. Now let's talk about that. Look who they added to go opposite of Mr. Max.
Talking about
Chandler Jones.
Yep.
So look, their pass rush that was a strength of their defense got better. I just hope that they do something about their offensive line. And look,
I don't think they're going to be good. I think the Raiders aren't going to be good enough on defense, though. I think, yeah, like Crosby and Jones are nice players, but I just think they're too thin in the secondary. They don't have enough playmakers at linebacker, in my opinion. Denzel Perryman's okay, but really, I don't see their defense as being an asset to them. I think that's going to be the end all be all for them. I think they'll score points, but they won't be able to stop people. I think that's going to be the narrative on the Raiders this year.
Yeah, but you know what? It's been the story of Derek Carr's career that has always been in the shadows. So, and I just believe in the intangible of Derek Carr and how he's always been counted out. So rooting for him. So,
but dude, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, all in the same offense. I mean, that's not fair. By the way, looking at the depth chart, they've got a receiver, third string receiver named Dylan Stoner. Do you think he gets subjected to more random drug tests?
Get out of here. There's another dad joke from Kurosh. So fantastic. Yes.
I had a skater friend in high school. He had the most like the perfect name, Chad Stoner.
Oh, the Chad. He was the Chad. Nice.
They're the Chad with the Stoner. I mean, come on. Like, if you ever made it to the league, he's definitely getting random tests.
It's perfect that he's a skater. So,
that's, but I feel like Dylan's kind of up there too. Dylan's in the same category as like Chad. You know, like it's
yeah.
In the skater. It's in the skater name Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
Anyway, just amusing. They also did add speedster DeMarcus Robinson from the Chiefs as well at receiver. So look, the weapons galore in Las Vegas. There's no question about it. I question their defensive toughness. And look, there's definitely some pressure on Derek Carr now. He's been
but they got a new coach, though. Come on. I like him.
They do, yes. You can't talk about the Raiders and not talk about Josh McDaniels taking over, right? And so this is now, I think there's pressure on him, too, because we know his first foray into head coaching was not a good one. He fizzled out pretty quickly over there in Denver. Okay. So has he learned more going back to New England, being more under the apprenticeship of Bill Belichick, the great Bill Belichick, and now taking that experience and applying it here in Las Vegas? Can he do that?
That's a Here's the thing, though. Pete Carroll, first time around, got fired. Bill Belichick, first time around, got fired. We've seen coaches make a comeback.
It feels like it's going to be one of those scenarios where Josh McDaniels is an offensive guy as a head coach. He's going to be focused on the offense. I don't know that the defense is going to be better for it. I think you'll see. I mean, like, he knows how to get the ball to playmakers. And I think Derek Carr will have a solid season. And when you look at the stats at the end of the year, they're going to look pretty in Las Vegas.
And he's got to build an excuse that this is the toughest division in football. So this, you know.
That's true. At the end of the day, we talk about this division being great. Probably the best on paper in the league. At the end of the day, someone's got to finish last.
Right.
And I think that the odd man out is going to be the Raiders this year.
And I think depending on how they do against non-divisional teams is going to be a good indictment of what kind of job he's doing.
Agreed. And look, I'm going out on a limb, man. And let's go to predictions here. I'm saying that Denver wins this division. I say
the Chargers. Okay. I gotta go with my hometown team.
You don't want your neighbors beating your door down either, right?
Well, yeah, you know what? Let him try. The old man Char's still a little bit got some size on him. So,
Let's go with that then. Let's go with your reality. The Chargers win the division.
Mm-hmm.
We agree that the Raiders are last.
Raiders are not in the playoffs. Yeah,
where do Denver and Kansas City fall then in your prediction?
I think Denver misses the playoffs.
Wow. Why? Why do you?
Just simply because I believe in the Chargers and Kansas City. And they're going to have.
Why can't all three of them go to the playoffs?
They can. But look, there's going to be attrition. There's going to be some kind of a. And look, was Russell Wilson the same last year when, you know, like he started off strong, like 2 years in a row now, he started off strong and he tapered off. And when you're playing six teams that are basically playoff teams, they're going to go at each other right there. You could easily have three losses in your own division.
I think Russell Wilson's going to light it on fire this year.
He's the third best quarterback in that division.
I disagree. I think he's the second best quarterback in the division right now.
I
put him ahead of Herbert. Right now, today.
Yeah, but I think yes, agreed, obviously, but I think across the course of a season, I think Herbert's going to be better. Herbert's going to keep getting better. And did you see what he did against the Raiders? I mean, 4th-and-27, 4th-and-21. That kid is ruthless.
Some of those plays were he was so clutch.
Kurosh, so clutch. That kid dug out my heart because I had bet the Raiders to win that game. That kid dug out my heart. And then his coach gave it back to me because.
I hear you, man. I hear your criticism of Russell Wilson. I also believe it's a product of having been in the same place for a long time. I don't know. I know we disagree here. I think Seattle could have done more to support him there. I don't think these last few years, they never really ran an offense that was conducive to his skill set. So I think a fresh start is going to be huge for him. And I see Denver reclaiming this.
Yeah, but here's the thing though. I think he has maybe the best or second best defense in that division.
I'm not saying it's all Russ.
Right. But part of it. I think Denver has, outside the quarterback, Denver has the worst offense in that division.
No way.
In terms of receivers and weapons for Russell Wilson, I said take the quarterback out.
But I don't think it's far behind though.
No, it's not. But
Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, that trio is not far behind any of the other teams, right? Like I really don't think it is.
The closest one is Kansas City.
Right.
Closest one is Kansas City. In terms of offensive firepower, the skill positions, the Raiders and the Chargers. Are you kidding me?
But I
don't believe in Cortland Sutton.
Russell Wilson will elevate the play of everybody.
Agreed. On that team. Agreed.
Yeah. So we'll see. But okay. So just for the record, I'm saying Denver at 1, KC 2, LA 3. I'm sorry, and then Raiders at 4.
You and I are exactly the same, except switch 1 and 3.
Except LA.
Yeah. So I say LA, KC, Denver. You say.
But we're very, very different on Denver and LA.
All right, that's what I'm saying. We both have KC and Las Vegas second and fourth. We're just flipping our first and third.
Yeah, exactly. And that could be the difference between making and not making the playoffs, right?
Right. Look, here's at the end of the day, the reason why I believe in the Chargers is they have the best offensive, best defensive line. You know, it's at the end of the day. And they have a great young quarterback. And, you know, we named all the others. So.
Yeah. No, look. It's one of those divisions where if it played out that way, you either way, I wouldn't be surprised. Hell, KC could still win the division again, right? But while Denver is still vastly improved, and LA's improved, I would say aside from the Raiders, those three teams,
any one of them, I wouldn't be shocked.
Could win the division, and I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked. The only one that would make me raise eyebrows would be the Raiders winning division. I'd be like, oh, my God, that came out of – literally, you're 100% correct. These teams are like 1A, 1B, 1C, not even there. It's like they're very – look, I have them in clusters very close to each other. They could be the top – I think three of them could be the top five teams in the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well – that's that, man. We'll have to save these in the archives and come back to it when all said and done. But yes, but I like it, man. Good time, Shart. Next week, what do you want to do? North or south next week?
Let's go top of the border and work our way south.
It is summertime, so the north is a little bit more manageable weather-wise. So we'll head north next week. You got it, man. Always a pleasure and a highlight of my week talking to you, buddy.
Absolutely, sir. Great talking to you, buddy.